Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you know how to make snarky sound loving? Yeah, me neither. This is Wretched Radio, speaking truth in love. It doesn't all have to sound exactly alike as we utter perhaps judgments or critiques on things in the church. Nevertheless, it should be unmistakable that what people hear from us isn't just criticism, just snarks. They must hear that it is spoken in love. Would like to share with you what I think is a most awesome illustration, a demonstration of that very truth taken from that very text, Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. Paul encourages the Ephesians to grow up, to be mature, no longer be like kids, being whipped about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, cunning craftiness. No. Grow up, speaking truth in love, that we grow up into the fullness of Him. Alistair Begg encouraging the church to be mature, to love the word, to preach it confidently, nevertheless, delivers a fair amount of critiques in this particular sermon. And yet he does it in such a way that I think it is a stellar demonstration of how to go about the business of judging without being judgmental. You know the difference? Judging is, hey, friend, could I point this out to you? I think there's an issue. Versus, hey, seriously, you're doing that? Alistair Begg is able to judge what he sees going on in the church in such a way where it feels like it's not a velvet fist. It's more like, did he just give me a hug? Did that Scottishman just give me a noogie? Because he seems so nice. Even as he goes about the business of being, well, pretty critical. This is Alistair Begg.
Our understanding and our expectation of the preaching and the teaching of the Bible is far more significant than the notion of simply listening to somebody giving a lecture, or of somebody giving a kind of fireside chat, or somebody to whom we're invited to come and listen as they have some interesting ideas, or they have an inspirational talk for us, or something to set us up for the week. No. We are actually discovering that when the Word of God is faithfully taught, the voice of God is really heard.
Inspirational chats, they're nice. Fireside talks, nice when you're in a war. That's not what the pulpit is. The pulpit is the place where the man of God, recognizing the Bible is the inspired Word of God, steps up and delivers it as if it's, you know, actually important and authoritative. Alistair Begg, maybe it's just that Scottish brogue, he can get away with this, doing a fair amount of gentle critiquing.
A whole generation is buying into all kinds of things, specializing in particular generations. So subdividing the population in terms of the millennials or the teens or Sector A or Sector B. We are a church for these people. Forgetting the fact that the way in which God assembles His people is multi-generational. From the very beginning, He does it that way, and purposefully so. You do not live in a family, in a physical family, where everyone is the same age. It would be a strange experience. Indeed, it couldn't happen. Nor in the church family.
This isn't your grandmother's church. So where's Granny supposed to go? Where's she supposed to? Granny church? Old people church? Why don't we see that, by the way? Why do we always see young and hip and cool, but we don't see fuddy-duddy church? If you're stodgy... Oh, wait a second. It's called traditional church. The traditional service. That's at 7 in the morning when the birds get up, and old people do also. God doesn't want the church divided into generations. Now, does that mean that with nursing mothers and perhaps with young children that they can never leave or be dismissed? No, there's some things that sometimes a congregation can examine and make a decision on. But to be dividing up the body? Imagine if everybody at your house were, let's just say it's all teenagers. That's all it is. It's just all teenagers. And you got 16 to 21-year-olds, let's just say, and they're living in the house together. You go, well, that might not be the best idea. Then why do we do that with youth church and segregated things? Now, perhaps another caveat, does that mean that we can't do age-specific studies that might be good for a particular group? Now, for instance, if you wanted to do something on a Wednesday with young adults on marriage or preparing for marriage or getting married or even being a Christian in the workplace, I can understand how that could be done, but I got a question for you. How much better if you had some 40, 50, and 60-year-olds in that very same class who could impart, wisdom and experience and demonstrate it and model it and answer their questions and encourage them? Wouldn't that even be better? So I understand the push, which is more of a scholastic influence, a secular scholastic influence, than it is a Bible-driven concept to segregate everybody. I wouldn't make it a law. Well, that's not true. I would make it a law, but biblically can't do that, but would also encourage us all to ask, is it best to do it this way, where everybody is segregated? Discuss. In the meantime, Alistair Begg.
So that the notion of a monologue, which people say, well, you can't listen to a monologue, we're not listening ultimately to a monologue. We're involved in a dialogue. But the dialogue is not this way. The dialogue is from here to here. It's actually from here to here to there to there. So that the Spirit of God conducts a dialogue in the listeners to the Word of God, which He has decided He's deigned to use a frail, stammering tongue to convey, thereby declaring, as Luther says, His humility by hiding Himself in the voice of a mere man, thereby causing people to say, then why do I receive it as I receive it? Because it's not just a talk. It is a direct encounter with God Himself through the Word which He has ordained, inspired, left inscripturated, provided in the apostolic writings, and given to us today to proclaim.
How is everybody doing, church? Verses, the man of God who instructs the people, open up your Bible. You are now going to hear from God Himself. Through the correct preaching of His Word, you are not hearing from a man, you are hearing from God through a man, rightly dividing the Word. Why? Don't forget your text. So that we can grow up. So that we can become mature. So that we won't get pushed about like little children.
Paul says it's very, very important that you have a solid doctrinal base. No longer like children, forever changing their minds. Changing your mind about what you believe, changing your mind about the doctrine of Scripture, changing your mind about the doctrine of God, changing your mind about the doctrine of man, changing your mind about the nature of marriage, changing your mind about God's authority in all things. We're not to be like children in that way, changing our minds because we're attracted now by just the latest thing that has come out.
And if evangelicals are prone to one thing, it is that we are whimsical. What's the latest trend? If that's it, we're on it. I'm kind of tired of that. Let's try the new thing. When we are being fed a steady diet of the preaching of the Word of God, we will stop being trendy like children.
I mean, it's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Because children are they're children. They move from one thing to the next with amazing. Papa, can we play bricks? You haven't finished getting the bricks. when they say, we want to do crayons. No, well, wait a minute. No, well, okay, we can get the crayons. Can we do marbles? For goodness sake, you know, let's just stick with, can we stick with one thing? No, we can't. We're children. We're already bored with that. But you didn't do it. Doesn't matter. I'm already decided I don't like it.
This is not a perfect observation, but many of the emails that I would receive, and you're welcome to send them to idea@wretched.org, from people that are confused. They aren't sure about something. And they're wondering if, and it's gotten to the point for many people where they don't even know if they are believing rightly or believing at all. That could be a fruit of this. And I suspect it might be because regularly I will ask, where are you a member of a church? And the answer tends to be not, which means they're not getting a steady diet of Bible preaching that is written just for them from God through a man to steady their wobbly legs, to encourage them, to grow them up in maturity, and to keep them from being flailed about by every wind of just about everything. If that describes you, may I ask you, are you a member of a local church that preaches the Bible earnestly? This is Wretched Radio.
Another day, another episode of Wretched Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. And thank you very much for checking out Wretched TV, or vice versa. Yep, believe it or not, some folks found Wretched TV first and then came to Wretched Radio. Others start here with the radio and then head off the TV show. If you haven't sampled it yet, Wretched TV is our 30-minute TV show hosted by Todd. And it contains live witnessing encounters. There are discussions on tough theological issues and various other topics that wander hither and yon through our Christian communities. You can find Wretched TV by checking your local listings or any old time at wretched.org/TV. Special thanks to our gospel partners for making Wretched Radio and Wretched TV available to everyone. If you are not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider it? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details. Help us to continue to make Wretched Radio and TV available to everyone. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Imagine, if you would, a man. A man who lived such an extraordinary life that Western civilization actually changed the entire calendar system to commemorate his birthday. The obvious question would be, who was that man? Followed by, what did he do to deserve such an honor? Well, that man doesn't have to be imagined. That individual is Jesus Christ. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is the perfect booklet for every skeptic or unbeliever who believes that Jesus was just a mere mortal. To get your copies of The Man Who Split Time, visit wretched.org/time today. Read it, and you'll be back, and get me more copies to give away to anyone and everyone. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is available now at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time. Wretched. Amazing grace. If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a third epistle commending Christians who were walking in the truth and showing love by their hospitality. He warned against a selfish and diversive man, whom he criticized publicly, specifically, and by name. As you continue to walk in the truth, take care to show hospitality to good teachers and avoid bad teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now, church history, and indeed I have to say sadly the history of our own fellowship, makes it perfectly clear to us that men and women are initially swept off their feet by misinterpretation, and unless corrected, they end up with a mind deceived. Initially it comes to you, Pastor, I'm not sure that I agree with that interpretation. The concern is not whether it's my interpretation. The concern is this what the Bible says? I understand that you don't like the interpretation as it relates to the structure within marriage, the headship of the husband and the role of the wife and so on. I get that. You don't like that. Well, that's okay. We need to look at the Bible and see what it says. Misinterpretation is the starting point, and unless arrested, it's not too long before deception takes hold and people have gone on their way.
Is that what God really said? This is Wretched Radio. Alistair Begg, based on Ephesians 4, encouraging us to grow up, to not be blown about by every wind of doctrine, every whisper of confusion, but that we are mature, becoming Christ-like. How does that happen? We are hearing truth spoken in love to stave away confusion and wandering and straying. And historically, is that not the way that it tends to go? Isn't it always a question that begins the slippery slope? Could we just do a study to see if that's what the Bible says on this subject? I'm not going back to early church history. I'm talking about relatively recent church history. This goes back, I think it was the 60s, maybe. I believe it was the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Tony, you're a Lutheran, aren't you? It was the ELCA that asked the question, what about the role of women? Does Titus 1 really say that? Let's do a study on that. By the way, the ELCA taking a bit of a beating, not as much as they should, frankly. Apparently, they sent out a tweet talking about Mother God. If you don't think liberal Lutheranism has gone to pasture, I'm telling you, Mother God, and even the article that was sort of critical of it, was kind of like, well, you know, what they were really thinking was sort of, you know, God's love is like a mother. Okay. They called God Mother God, which is a different title than Jesus himself gave to his father. And that is how far they've slipped. They don't even believe in penal substitutionary atonement. They don't even believe in the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. How did it start? I don't like this interpretation about the role of women in the church. Can we just study this a little bit? That's the modus operandi. It's always the camel's nose under the tent, isn't it? Let's just take some time to think this through. And we continue to see that today with sexuality, with marriage issues. And if we are not going to be swept up in something, you might find that particular issue kind of a no-brainer. Oh, come on. 1 Timothy 2, it's so clear. Really, 1 Timothy 3. Honestly, there's a debate over this. Come on. Genders, come on. It might not be those issues, but it could be other issues. If we do not stay grounded in the church from earnest men who preach the word, the illustration, God speaking from heaven, hidden in a man's mouth to your ears. That's what you are getting on Sunday morning. You know, when you get to go to church again. And that is a sermon that is written just for you. And if you're not getting that sort of preaching, well, then careful. You're in danger.
Now, John Stott talks about what he refers to as the truth gang. And he says there are people who are so always concerned about the truth that as soon as they get just the sniff of heresy at all, of any kind, quotes, their nose begins to twitch, their muscles ripple, and the light of battle enters their eyes.
The fight. Oh, they're just like they
exist for a fight. You know, they're everywhere. I see you didn't use the King James Version this morning. I'm sorry. Well, you can be sorry if you like, but, you know, and before you know it, here we go. And usually they'll say, I'm only speaking the truth in love. Okay, well, thank you for that. But at the opposite extreme, the people say, well, we're not really the Truth Brigade. We're the loving group. We're so loving. Well, we're so loving that we're prepared to just about sacrifice every central truth of biblical revelation that exists in order that everyone might know just how loving we are. No, it can't be. Both of those approaches are unbalanced. Both of those approaches are unbiblical. Truth becomes hard if it's not softened by love. And love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth.
Not on this particular day, but someday we will work through Todd's incomplete list of engagement rules. That's right, Todd's incomplete list of engagement rules. I'm working on it. I don't think it's done by any means. I think I've got about 12 points, give or take. When do you decide to start criticizing stuff, to start jumping in? This is a sign of maturity, that we actually choose our battles. Do you read the Proverbs often? It's really worth going to on occasion. I am reminded I could be locked in a box for 1,000 years and not write one proverb that has the wisdom that one proverb does that was written mostly from the pen of Solomon. 26:17 of the Proverbs, he who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. And this isn't like, no, you're grabbing a wild dog by the ears. You're going to have yourself a situation. And that's what happens when we meddle in a quarrel that is not our own. There are a lot of ministries. How many? Don't know, but they're pretty loud. And there are churches even. They love the fight. They love to pick out problems. They exist. It can be done. It must be done. It's commanded to be done, but it's not all that needs to be done. On the other hand, you've got people who are absolutely allergic to judging, to speaking, to warning, to telling people, hey, gotta be careful here. There's some dangers out there, and I'm even willing to name them so that you can understand who they are. Now, not everybody always needs to be named. But sometimes it is appropriate and right. After all, the Bible names names. And so a ministry that is helping people to become mature doesn't feed one inclination or the other. The perpetual pugnacious debating of issues and, well, not debating, attacking on issues versus, yeah, let's just, no, a healthy church, a wise preacher who is guided by the word of God will deliver a proper balance. He can't help it.
It is from the head that the harmonious functioning of a body takes place. That is true in terms of human physiology, isn't it? My hand is moving now because a message is sent to it from my head. If it is doing it voluntarily or without any control, then there is a problem in the body.
In other words, we've got to have our brains filled with the way that God thinks, and then we're not going to get whipped around all over the place. We're not going to become unbalanced, and we're not going to become ugly, or we're not going to become squishy.
Eat up. Make sure you have a daily diet of God's Word. Grow up into Christ. Don't be a baby. Show up when the Word of God is preached, when the people of God gather, when the sacraments are celebrated, when the opportunity to invite friends and neighbors is there for us. And step up. Step up. Take your place.
Do you know that I cannot say, don't be a baby, without sounding kind of nasty? But Alistair Begg just did, because he was simply describing what the Bible teaches. I'd be like, don't be a baby.
Eat up. Make sure you have a daily diet of God's Word. Grow up into Christ. Don't be a baby.
See? That's speaking truth in love. One last little tender kidney shot from Alistair Begg. That sort of maturity can only happen underneath the correct preaching, the balanced preaching of the authoritative Word of God by a minister who has confidence that it is God's infallible, inerrant Word that he is preaching. That maturity, you cannot get that online.
None of this will ever be accomplished by the online church. None of this. Because if you want to turn church into a cell phone experience, as increasing numbers do, I mean, why would I want to come? Okay, go on your phone. Do it on your phone. You can do it with no involvement, no opportunity for service, no responsibility for discipline, and no pastoral care. Just create for yourself a highly privatized understanding of the Christian faith and realize that such a notion is an embarrassing travesty of New Testament Christianity.
You're always going to be a baby. I mean, and you'll always be a baby. And that is the temptation as we hopefully soon return to church. Let's not forget the beauty of the local church. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. With the surge in COVID-19 cases now considered manageable, Samaritan's versus Central Park Field Hospital unit has stopped receiving new patients and will pack up and leave, they say, in a couple of weeks. The Christian ministry and its partner hospital, Mount Sinai Health System, released a joint statement over the weekend saying the partnership had resulted in 315 coronavirus patients receiving high-quality medical care within the field hospital tents. This announcement comes after New York City Council Speaker Corey Johnson had said Samaritan's Purse wasn't welcome in the city due to the organization's biblical views on sexuality, which he termed hate. He wrote that hate has no place in our beautiful city in a tweet last week. But Franklin Graham, president of Samaritan's Purse, said Monday his organization treated everybody the same. The joint statement from the hospital and Samaritan's Purse said it will take approximately 2 weeks to treat these last patients and subsequently decontaminate and remove the tents from Central Park. Franklin Graham on Monday during the Glenn Beck radio show said Samaritan's Purse had a great relationship with Mount Sinai, their partner hospital. When he was asked by Beck if Samaritan's Purse ever rejected someone or treated them differently in the hospital because they don't agree with you, Graham said, "Of course not. We treat everybody the same." Graham also added the field hospital will be packed up and deployed again if there's another need somewhere else. In the last 2 months, the National Safe Haven Alliance's hotline has seen an almost 10% increase in phone calls, many from moms asking what to do with babies that they can't care for. The pandemic has added to the personal and financial strain on new parents, while the number of infant abandonments in the U.S. has increased slightly. Safe haven laws in all 50 states allow parents to anonymously surrender their newborns without facing legal repercussions if they bring the babies to a hospital or another designated drop-off point. Safe haven advocates have started helping mothers in new ways during the COVID-19 outbreak, even helping some with their rent. They are still struggling to fight against a lack of public awareness about the laws and related programs. The Safe Haven Baby Boxes organization in Indiana tracks illegal abandonments in the news. Nationwide, 7 abandonments in March, up from 5 in February and 2 in January. In April already, 4 abandoned babies. Founder and CEO of Safe Haven Baby Boxes, Monica Kelsey, said the Safe Haven law is not a good option, but it's better than letting the child die. If you don't have this alternative, you're going to continue to find babies in dumpsters. Quick update, the city of Hagerstown, Maryland has backed down from its restrictions on pro-life activists peacefully demonstrating outside of the abortion businesses. The Thomas More Society sent multiple letters to city officials After police threatened Wanda King with a $5,000 fine for standing on the sidewalk outside a local abortion business in mid-April. After receiving the letters, Hagerstown city attorney ruled the demonstrators didn't have to keep walking, but would still have to maintain social distancing and limit their number to 10. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1948, the World Council of Churches is formed as an interdenominational body promoting Christian unity and presence in society. Modern ecumenism saw differing denominations work together in spiritual and social causes, but also resulted in the watering down of Christian doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to talk about anything but COVID.
Pretty much.
Amen.
Assembling a hodgepodge of stuff doesn't really fit in a particular theme or category. Hence, wide world of Christian stories with a Bible verse slapped on them so you feel like you're listening to The Fish. I'm just kidding. They don't slap Bible verses on anything. Let's get to the stories, shall we? Oh, okay. Gentlemen, before we get to the stories, focus, Friel. Focus. Let me see if I can trick you. What is wrong with this correction of an analogy, if anything? You tell me, is there anything wrong with my correction of an analogy? The analogy being, it's the story of the guy who's isn't a believer. It's a snowy night. It's Christmas Eve. Family goes to church. He doesn't want to go. So he sits at home. It's snowing on the farm. It's a lovely night. But then he looks out the window because he hears some squeaking, chirping, I guess would be the bird noise that
birds?
They make. Yeah, the birds. And there's a bunch of them that are out in the snow, and they're going to die if they stay out in the cold. So the nice farmer thinks, well, what I'll do is I'll just go to the barn and I'll open up the door and they'll fly in and they'll stay warm and they'll be sheltered from the storm. So he does that and they don't. So he tries to get behind him. All they do is scatter and then gather without him, but they just won't go into the barn. And he thinks to himself, if only I could become a bird, if I could become like them, then I would lead them into the barn to warmth and safety. And that's when it dawned on him. That's what God did on Christmas Eve. He became one of us to lead us into a barn. Or something like that. That's kind of how the illustration goes. What's the problem with that exactly? Well, the problem is we can't fly into the barn. The problem is we can't get to safety no matter how hard we flap, no matter what kind of role model we happen to have, and it doesn't really describe the mission of Jesus. So here's how I would correct the analogy. Let's just say that there was a man and a woman over the weekend who had been, to date, enjoying some cardinals who were actually building a nest in their front tree. And they're beautiful birds. You don't get to see that very often. And they didn't really nest. Normally, I think they nest in pine trees, but this was a deciduous tree. I know that term because, well, Mrs. Friel told me. Otherwise, I just pointed stuff and go, tree! So they're nesting in this tree. And you can hear the little chicks in there. So we go out to clean the back patio. Lo and behold, the mommy and the daddy are in our backyard, and they're jumping we've got a ledge in our backyard. They're jumping off of the ledge, constantly going down to our patio. And we thought, well, maybe they're just foraging for seeds or for bugs, taking them back to the tree in the front yard, a deciduous tree, no less. Well, it wasn't. We looked down, and it was like, hey, wait a second. Their little chicks are down there. I don't know how they got there, but they were locked in our backyard, and they couldn't get out of our area, which is just all concrete. And so mom and dad were jumping down to feed them. So we decided we've got to help because these little chicks, they're going to die back there. So the best that we could come up with was getting a big sheet and then just gently throwing it over them, wrapping them up, and then taking them over the ledge and putting them where mom and dad could get them. So that's exactly what we did. And you know what? That's exactly like the gospel. And then they just tweeted away. That's exactly what the gospel is right there. God picks us up and carries us to salvation where we can thrive instead of flounder around. That's my correction. Anything wrong with that illustration, gentlemen?
Well, first, you've completely abandoned the incarnation that was present in the first one. Second of all, you're not perfect.
Well, in this sense, I would be... Yeah, you're right. Then I would be the rescuer. I would be playing the role of the savior for the birds. What, yeah. I mean, besides the obvious, what's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with my little correction of that prior not very good illustration? Either of you got it? Either of you, did you figure it out? Did you hear it? You got nothing for me?
I can hear Tony's gears whirring in there.
Something.
Which works great on radio.
The only part you have whirring. Is if you put that sheet over all the birds.
Yeah.
There's no choice for those birds. There's no chance of rejection.
Well, that was...
So that would be a more universalistic look at things.
Okay, that wasn't the angle I was going.
Okay.
Okay.
What angle were you going?
Well, that
wrong
sounded,
though it may be.
I'm not sure that sounded very Lutheran of you, but nevertheless, the birds would have to be dead and then brought back to life. You see, they're not just floundering around spiritually and then taken to a better place. They're spiritually toast. They're not alive. They don't just need a little oomph. They don't need a little carrying. They don't need a little wrapping in a blanket. They need new life. Hence the problem with the illustration. Now, somebody out of the tens and tens of people who might still be listening to this fiasco would be saying, hopeful. Oh, come on with the picking of the nits. Well, there are appropriate times to pick nits and appropriate times to not pick nits, which I guess would make them inappropriate times to pick nits. When it comes to correctly expressing the gospel, explaining it through analogies, which always limp, now that doesn't mean that they're disqualified on the face, but you've got to be really, really careful because you don't want to ever present it wrongly. You don't ever want to give an illustration that lessens the actual transaction. That's why, get ready for this. This is potentially not going to make you jump for joy. The illustration of salvation being you're on one side of a cavern and God is on the other side. And there are some people, well, they can run really fast and they can jump out about 8 feet, but pew, splat, like Wile E. Coyote. And there are other people, they can only jump 2 feet, and there's a baby just crawls over the ledge and falls. This illustration just got really dark. But the point is, that illustration is wrong. Because we don't jump. We don't get even sort of close. So then what is done for us? Jesus then becomes a bridge. What happens? Then Jesus carries us over the bridge to get to God. Ah, that's better. Ah, that's not accurate either. Jesus isn't a bridge. He's not one who just provides a means for us to get to God. We must be made alive in Christ. We must be forgiven because of the work of Christ. And then he is the one who brings us to God. We don't walk over him. We don't walk on a bridge to get to God. Jesus takes us there, all of his work, because all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. To message Bible it, all of our righteous deeds can't cause you to jump 6 feet or 2 feet or 20 feet. You can't get there. And Jesus isn't the bridge so that we can now walk or work our way there. No, he's our Savior who died to bring us to life so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. The new life, the new birth that is in Jesus Christ. That's why when you use illustrations, be very, very careful. I'm not saying that somebody didn't get saved from a lame illustration, but I am encouraging that if we're going to use illustrations to describe God, we need to do it really, really carefully. Where were we then? Oh, yes. Wide world of gobbledygook is where we were, if I'm not mistaken. Tony, quit getting me off track.
I'm sorry.
And the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe.
So you don't have to.
Some stuff. We did that already. Hey, yeah. Michael Jackson's daughter. Yeah. Daughter. Wait, this can't be right. His daughter is starring as Jesus in an upcoming movie. Well, that's exciting. That's a, you could actually call that a thriller if you wanted to be hip and relevant.
You could.
Michael Jackson's 22-year-old daughter, Paris Jackson, will play a gender-bending Jesus Christ in the upcoming movie Habit. She'll portray the religious figure wearing a traditional robe, tousled hair, including a single accent braid, and a nose ring. Wow. That's really cutting edge and brave. Those people, wow, they're living on the edge. Hey, if you happen to be listening, people who are producing this blasphemous thing, if you really want to push the envelope, why don't you have Paris Jackson playing Muhammad? Have her doing that. That would be really cutting edge and courageous. Why don't they? Because one is a religion of peace, and they know it. And the other one, well, it could get you Salman Rushdie'd. I'm telling you, at some point, we might actually be getting closer every day. At some point in our culture, if it keeps going the way that it's going, you know what's going to be considered like cutting edge? Acting like a Christian. Whoa. That person actually doesn't watch porn. Go along with all the confusion in our world. That is going to be increasingly cutting edge. Paris Jackson, yawn. This is Wretched Radio. Good news? Yeah, lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
Where can you find over 2,600 episodes of Wretched TV, hundreds of hours of Wretched Radio, and see all of Wretched's newest resources? That's right. It's all available at the Wretched website, wretched.org, or as I lovingly refer to it, the home of all things Wretched. There is so much at wretched.org, we couldn't possibly fit it all into a commercial. We tried, but the commercial was 6 pages long. Seriously, there is so much to find at wretched.org. You just need to go and visit for yourself. Actually, bookmark it so you can go there several times. Wretched.org. You'll find full 30-minute TV episodes, 60-minute radio shows, and countless biblical resources, including the Wretched Library, all waiting at wretched.org. Thanks to the generosity of our gospel partners. Wretched.org. For all things wretched. Wretched.org. Bookmark it and visit often. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Mexican.
There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Excited. Indescribably excited. This is Wretched Radio.
About?
We're just about there. Road Trip to Truth. It's our 13-episode TV series aimed at your kids and your grandkids to introduce to so many evangelical youth really basic stuff that they are being blindsided with when they run to university, when they turn on the YouTube machine, when they listen to the new atheists and their incredible cleverness. They get tidal waved by really lame arguments, and most, not all, most youth groups aren't equipping the kids to hear these arguments and go, yawn, heard it, worked through it, they're nonsense. Road Trip to Truth. I'm telling you, this thing is a game changer. Could not be more excited about this series. It will, I think, be a youth group game changer, because kids are going to be presented with the arguments that they will get slammed by. And we are just about done with episode 13. Now, we got a bunch of motion graphic stuff to do, all of the packaging. We are in the process of writing the youth group curriculum. We're also going to be putting together a homeschool curriculum. Dr. Dana Snead of Answers in Genesis, she is working on that, and it is going to be boffo. Cannot wait to show it to you. Yes,
so
sir.
Roughly, it should be done about the time the pandemic is over.
Do you know when that's going to be?
I don't.
I thought the Fauci said we've got about 20 more years. No, by the way, have I heard correct? No more kissing. Spouses can't kiss anymore because that would you could get the pandemic.
Is that the latest?
I don't know. It could be. Why not?
Why not? The scary part is I had to ask if it's true, so it might be.
It could be. This will be done. We are hoping that everything will be ready to go in the fall so that we can be rolling it out. Now, I would like to challenge you to see if you can help us write season two. That's right. This the reviews. We've been having to show season one to a number of people from publishers to networks, etc. The reviews back on it, it is super, super strong. The presentations are so good, and they're so... they're just so gettable. I get them. These really smart people are talking, and it's like, yeah, that does make sense. You really can't be an atheist, can you? Agnosticism is really a decision about God, even though you think that you're finding safe harbor by saying, ah, I'm an agnostic. No, it's a faith system. And this, among other things, this series reveals that. So we're already working on season two, and we're kind of debating, how do we keep it evangelistic, because that's what we want it to be, while tackling issues that not only is the world wrestling with, but that our worldviews, and that the kids are getting beaten up by. Here's the subject. Here's your assignment right now. You are the writer for season two of Road Trip to Truth. Environmentalism. How would you make that evangelistic? How would you present that subject to reveal the fallacies behind the worship of the planet, the overemphasis on making sure that nothing ever mars or scars this beautiful earth that God has given to us? How would you present that evangelistically? So that's what we're working on with season two. Some of these issues that are probably not the most obvious ones, but that are big. I mean, we're going to tackle things like nihilism. Yeah, we've already tackled postmodernism, but we're going to realism, pragmatism, all of these, Epicureanism, all of these things that are worldviews that our kids are being persuaded are really good worldviews. We're going to present that in season two. So glad you asked, gentlemen. I'll tell you how I put it together for environmentalism. Segment one. Why is this planet both beautiful and a mess at the same time? How does evolution account for that? How does the Bible explain that? That will involve a discussion on evolution versus creation and the fall and its effects. This will demonstrate evolution's worldview cannot explain beauty and evil. Only the Bible can. So by talking about the desire for keeping the planet beautiful, you have to have a conversation about what makes it beautiful. Why would we even want to do that? What is beauty? Why do we see bad things? What is the evolutionary explanation? Not so much for evil, but for good. Furthermore, the religion of environmentalism, they actually have a system to make the world a better place and to demonstrate that it is a religion. Are you familiar with carbon credits?
Oh, yeah. Those are still around.
Carbon offsets. Or if you cut down a tree because you buy a package of paper, well, then you can buy a tree in Timbuktu, and then you're atoning for your environmental sins. So it is a religion. Furthermore, why, according to the evolutionary worldview, should we care about the planet? If this is all about survival of the fittest, not the next generation, there's no evolutionary explanation for why I should desire to have children. Well, to keep the species going. Why? Why? Kids are a lot of work. It's easier for me if I don't have them or if I off them. I don't care if the world is a better place for them. This is about me. That's the evolutionary worldview. They elevate nature to the same level as people. And frequently, they actually make nature a god. Segment two on the evolutionary or the environmental special for Road Trip to Truth, season two. Humans have made tremendous advancements in using this planet for the sake of human flourishing. There's just one problem. Humans, in an effort to make this world a better place for us to live in, we can make a mess of that same planet. So how does evolution help us advance as the better people? Well, first of all, we need to define that people are more valuable than animals, dogs, chickens, and plants. How does the environmental worldview help us improve? Because the planet is going to take nicks and dings. It just will. If you want to improve this area here, something over there is going to take a shot. Now, as a Christian, I can explain that. God has said, use this planet for your flourishing. Now, be good to it as best you can, fully recognizing that the planet might get dinged along the way. That's okay as long as humans flourish. Now, you don't do that in a careless way because God made the earth, and therefore we're grateful for this planet, but we recognize that it has been given to us for our enjoyment and betterment. How does the environmentalist explain that? It can't. People would say we can't do anything to scar or mar the earth. Now, on the other hand, you would say, who cares about anything? That's not the Christian worldview either. The Christian worldview explains how and why we work and strive to better this place, even if it means that it's going to take a couple of knocks along the way. Can environmentalism, can evolution support their own position? Answer no. Segment three, where the rubber meets the environmental road. A list of current environmental issues and how the godless versus Christian worldview addresses them. That's going to be applying segments one and two. Not so much the issue itself, but how do we think through these subjects like fracking, factory air pollution, auto air pollution, pipelines, coal, cities, skyscrapers, filling in a swamp, changing the flow of how nature works in a particular part of the planet where maybe some animals will actually suffer. Environmentalism says that can't happen. And you know what that means? That means humans are stuck. The biblical worldview says, no, we can do these things carefully, not recklessly, thoughtfully, being kind. We aren't careless and absolutely oblivious to animals, but people are better. And therefore, we're going to do some of these things wisely and carefully. Now, where is the effort to reach people? Where's the evangelism in that? Well, first of all, it demonstrates that the Christian worldview can actually put life together better. It can explain our position on the planet, why it's okay that, you know what, it's a bummer, but those animals had to relocate to another place. Bummer. that, you know what? Yep, we had to dig up that land, and it's maybe not as pretty in that particular part, but wow, millions of human beings flourished because of it. We can show the harmonious and holistic nature of the Bible, and the environmental evolutionary worldview cannot. But that leads us to segment four. If God is right when he speaks on the environment in this life, you can trust him when he speaks about a much more important subject, a new heavens and a new earth. What will that look like? Why will it look like that? Who is going to be organizing that? And will you be there? That is how a TV episode on environmentalism can demonstrate that the Bible is elegant. It is always, it just, everything works. There's not a hole in the armor of Scripture. It all makes sense. It harmonizes reality as we see it and as we know it. And it can ultimately lead us to a gospel presentation and an explanation about a new heavens and a new earth where we will not see any more marring, scarring, or sinning. Thank you. If you have been supporting our effort to get this series done, I can't wait to deliver it to you. It is going to rock the Casbah. If you can continue supporting us in this effort, you know that we'd appreciate you becoming a gospel partner so we can reach your kids and grandkids. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.